Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Singer-songwriter Laura Kelly's debut full-length CD came out on June 10th. She said the idea was to explore a whimsical look at domestic life, exploring the middle spaces between youth and old age, born out of a desire to write about her current life stage. On this edition of Americana Music Profiles, Laura and I have a fascinating conversation about her music, songwriting, and all of the facets of how that fits into everyday life. Hi, Laura. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Greg. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us today. I'm looking over my notes. Are you in Charlottesville?
I am, yes. I live in Charlottesville, Virginia with my husband, and I have 3 kids and 2 dogs.
Awesome. Cool. Have you lived in that part of Virginia, in that part of the state your whole life? Did you grow up there?
I did not, actually. I grew up in Katy, Texas, right outside of Houston.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, and then I moved to Charlottesville, Virginia in 2007.
Okay.
And met my husband while I was here, and then we just stayed. It's a really, I mean, we've had times where we thought about moving, but it's a really hard place to leave. So you kind of get here and you're like, where else would I go? I don't know.
This part of Virginia, it's just with the mountains, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah Valley, and just all of that space in between. It's just beautiful. I'm sure as a songwriter, I would imagine that there's inspiration just even in the landscape.
Absolutely. It is an absolutely beautiful part of the country. Every time I leave and come back, I just take a minute to observe kind of where I am. I'm like, this is incredible. I can't believe I get to live here.
Yeah,
so
I feel that way too. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So did you grow up with music in Texas? Was that part of your family existence?
Yes, I think so. You know, I don't think I grew up in a musician's family, which I think kind of lends itself to a different experience. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I grew up with popular music, as a lot of people do, and there's a lot of music playing in my household, mostly popular music. But I think, you know, some of the most influential music that got me started was one of the very first things I remember hearing was Eliza Gilkinson. And my dad had a tape that he put in his Honda Accord, and we drove around listening to, I'm aging myself, but that's okay. I love being the age I am. But we would listen to Eliza Gilkinson, and I just loved her storytelling. I loved that it felt, you know, both hopeful but grounded in reality. Uh-huh. And that really connected with me even as a small child that, you know, our experience on Earth is both beautiful and challenging at the same time.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So that was kind of my first foray into a singer-songwriter, female singer-songwriter. Yeah.
When did that exposure transcribe over into you becoming a songwriter, singer, musician?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I think I've been at war with, I was at war with all of that for a long time. I think sometimes in culture I grow up with, or at least for me, I grew up with this idea that, you know, talent, as you will, is natural. And if it's not there, then, you know, it's not, maybe you should, you know, should you be really pursuing that? And so I just had a really hard time coming to realize that songwriting is both, you know, quote unquote, a talent, like something that you can maybe do, or you have cultivated peripherally that, begins to be something you do. Also, it's a craft. It's something that you work toward and something you can practice. And I didn't really understand. It took me a long time to realize, oh, I could practice this. It wasn't just waiting for the muse to give you a song that turned out to be really good. It's like, no, there's people who really, this is what they do day in and day out. They've worked very hard to understand, you know, how to write songs. And so it took me a while to get there. I think, you know, in college I started writing, and then I really started writing after college in my late 20s. Mm-hmm. And that transformed into being more dedicated to the craft in my 30s. And so, yeah, that's the process by which I came to to write more thoroughly, more professionally. Yeah.
What does practice look like for you? How do you practice the craft? Do you have a regiment? Is it more organic than that?
I think it's a combination of both things. I think it's organic in so far as in life, you know, we're constantly receiving gifts from the people we're with, from nature, mm-hmm. from our relationships. And so that, you know, as you bring that into your brain, into your body, and you give it time to kind of form, then there's this natural outpouring from what you've received.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the discipline to sit down
right.
and actually craft something out of it. So mm-hmm. I think it's a combination for me. And I try to be pretty deliberate about taking in what I, you know, receiving what I'm taking in, and then sitting down and going about the practice of mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. writing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Was there a moment that you can recall that it moved from being a interest, passion, hobby to, hey, I think maybe there's more here. I can do this professionally, whatever professionally looks like for you. How long has that been part of your life?
Yeah, I read The Art of War, The War of Art.
Yeah, good book.
Steve Pressfield, yeah.
Yeah.
And gosh, I read that 5 or 6 years ago,
uh-huh.
you know, and he's like, listen, you're a pro when you say you're a pro and you show up to do your work.
Yeah.
And so it took a long time for me to make that decision. I don't know why. I think in my mind, I was like, oh, I make that decision, I don't know, you know, then it's going to own me instead of me owning. Like, I felt like I would be at the effect of it.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know I could make that decision for myself. We all have that ability to sure. decide, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
And so it just took me a while to do that. And I think somewhere maybe 5 years ago, I decided I wanted to pursue doing it. And so I released an EP and was pretty deliberate about that. And then I have children. So then I do my children as well. And then I came back and I was like, you know, when COVID started, I hadn't released a full-length record yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something I wanted to do. It was something that I felt was important for me as a musician, as an artist, both to have the scope of work and also to go through the process of what it means to form a record, mm-hmm. to record a record, to complete it, to release it. And so I think I'm deciding, you know, I'm a professional, and then I'm also deciding that day in and day out.
Yeah.
Every time I show up, I make
yeah.
that decision.
Yeah.
Does that make sense
sure.
to you?
Yeah.
I don't know
yeah.
if that feels like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I've heard lots of people say that book created a mind shift in their approach to whatever craft that they do. I was listening to maybe, I don't remember any, but somebody recommended that book, and I immediately went out and got it, and it was like, wow, this is everybody who has some sort of artistic expression should read this book. It gives you permission in ways that I think you maybe didn't have them before.
Absolutely. And I think too, you know, one of the mistakes I made as an artist was to have an idea of what it meant to be a professional
hmm.
that was someone in their 10th year of having done something.
Really?
And I thought, I'm only a professional if I am, you know, where like someone who's been in the craft of writing or in the craft of performing, you know, what I see from them in
yeah.
the public sphere.
Yeah.
And you're a professional the minute you start. And in, you know, it's like a person who's just beginning their career in anything, you know, and their career in finance, their career in whatever, like you go, you take the job, you show up for the work, you do the work, you are that. And it just takes, you know, so I think that was a huge shift for me to just say, I write songs. That makes me a songwriter. And it seems kind of obvious, but, you know, sometimes people are like, am I really this or am I really that? Well, if you're doing it, you are. So I just think just claiming that and moving on is really helpful.
Yeah. We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the interview. Do you have platforms of expression publicly? Do you get to coffee houses? How do you get to share your music with other folks?
Yeah, I do play shows. I play shows locally here in Charlottesville, and I've got something I'm doing in D.C. as well, and try to kind of do around this area. I played in Richmond. I'd love to play other places, but I also love to be home with my kids. I love to see them grow as people. And so it's a balance for me in terms of being able to play out and enjoy that experience and offer that to my community, as well as be present with these human beings that I'm, you know, in the process of helping form. So
yeah.
And I enjoy it. I enjoy getting to do both of those things.
So the new record, or is this debut record for you? Or you mentioned EP. Is this the first full length project?
This is the, yes, this is the first full length record I've released. Yeah.
And Domestique? Do I have that right?
Oh yeah. Domestique. So, I don't know. I was sitting around, and I get sort of irked sometimes by how mothering it can be portrayed in culture as this like doldrum thing. And I do a lot of domestic work, you know, like I fold laundry. It's like I wear clothes, and so then I have to wash them, and then I have to fold them. And that's just kind of a part of life. Right. And I do that on behalf of my children. And my husband does domestic work. Like he folds laundry. Like we make our beds, you know. So a lot of life as human beings is doing domestic work. Mm-hmm. And also finding, you know, like the beauty and the magic and the intrigue in those places. And so I wanted to offer that, and that's what I found was being offered to me in the time when I was writing these songs, was sort of finding that mystical place. Like, how do you want to think about all of this work you're doing to allow your brain to be open to beauty and magic and and all that? So I just kind of smushed those two things together, and that's where I got Domestique.
Okay.
From. So yeah.
Was the collection of songs on this project written specifically for this project, or are they a collection of songs that you've gathered over the last couple of years?
Yeah, some are a collection kind of speaking to that evolving perspective that I was having. I, you know, one of them is called Midnight Lullaby, and, you know, an early child rearing, I guess, if you will, when you have young children, they enter into this space where they start becoming aware of their surroundings, and it can make their minds really afraid at night. And I didn't have a lot of midnight graces. I was pretty irritable being woken up, you know, at 12 and 2 or 3, and then like having 15 to 20 minutes of being awake and needing to do, you know, consoling or people sleeping in my bed. And I just had a really bad attitude about it. And so I wrote this song to help me, like a little come to Jesus meeting, if you will, or come to whoever, the Buddha, come to whoever you're thinking about, to kind of get my head straight. And so I held on to that for a while, and, you know, other things. And that's kind of how this record came to be, is I just wanted to offer something to people who might be in those similar places to say, like, you're not alone, and it's okay, you know? So, yeah.
The whole project has a very Americana feel. Was that intentional? Is that the way you hear music when you write? How did that become the flavor that you sing and write in?
Yeah, I think that's the kind of music I enjoy. That's the kind of music that I sit with a lot. It's the kind of music that speaks to me. I'm always looking for stories that relate to my present moment. And that's part of why I wrote some of the songs that I wrote, is, you know, the High Women record with Brandi Carlile, Natalie Hemby, Amanda Shires, and Maren Morris, you know, when that came out, and there was a couple of songs, you know, in that record that had to do with mothering or the experience of mothering. And I was like, man, I need more of this. I need more of this while I'm doing like where I am right now. Cause that's where I am. And I'm not, you know, I'm not in my early 20s. I'm not looking, I'm not trying to date people. I'm not, you know, I'm really in that middle space, and I wanted music that spoke to that and made me happy and excited to be where I am. And so I sort of took inspiration from those artists and that music. And Lori McKenna is one of those people who inspire me. And so tried to write music that spoke to my current experience. And it just happened to be, I love Americana music.
Yeah.
It makes me happy.
Yeah. It's, I watched the, Mama's Kitchen video, and I had this almost the TV show Fixer Upper feel. I feels like that couple kind of embodies that the imagery that music that song and that video, kind of that middle generation, I guess, feel. It felt like that it was kind of telling that kind of story. Maybe I'm reaching for something that's not there, but I just had that very just peaceful, kind of playful, fun feel about the whole thing.
Yeah, that song, it was in the middle of COVID when I wrote it. I was with my mom sitting in the kitchen, and my husband's an event photographer, and so obviously during COVID, all of our work was pretty upended, and a lot of things were canceled or moved, and really, and I had just had a baby. I had a 12-week-old baby, and we really were not sure, like, how are we going to, you know, take care of ourselves financially.
Right.
And so we sold our house at the same time, strangely enough, like the housing market kind of went up. And so at least in our area. And so we sold our house, moved in with my mom who lived very close, just to kind of write it out. I thought this is probably going to be about 2 years if it ever goes away. And at least it'll be 2 years for us in the event industry before things really start re-regulating.
Yeah.
And which has turned out to be pretty true.
Right.
And so I was sitting on the floor with my mom, had the baby. My mom was making food. Our kids were out on her front porch. We were, you know, not really seeing that many people except for the people who were in our pod. And that was true for so many women. So many women across the country during COVID were really, there was a lot of requirements put on them to feed and nurture and care for the mental health of their children and their families under really stressful, traumatic situations. And so I wrote that song kind of out of that space. And then the video, those were all people I know. Every single one of those people are friends of mine. And just wanted to honor the people in my community that I know work so hard to take care of their families. And so, that's kind of that's how that video came to be. But thank you for the compliment of Fixer Upper. That's really nice.
Well, it had a very positive feel. The video, the song, that was the impression I took away from it. And Chip and Joanna and that whole, what they try to create, I don't know anything about them, but the visual that comes out of that feels that way, very positive and happy and family. And, you know, so it left me with that impression. So, yeah.
Oh, good. Well, thank you.
So what's next? Do you think ahead to another project in the midst of this one? Are you continuously writing? What comes after this?
Yeah. So I took a break from writing once I got the record out, and I thought I need to just sit with this. Like I need to receive the gift of this and allow myself to rest and enjoy what it feels like to complete this project, and then. And then, I'm still writing. I mean, I think for me, I also work with trauma. I work and I coach people around stories of trauma and sexual abuse and love that work. It seems kind of funny to say I love that work, but I think it's just to sit with someone and have them, you know, come to understand their story more, receive healing, like in growth and process is so beautiful. And so, for me, I would love to write it feels a little scary to like put this out there, but I would love to write music that coincides with that process of healing. And so I've started, I have started doing that. And I think that will probably be the next thing I tackle, and hoping to do some co-writing with people who write kind of liturgically in that vein of, you know, you know, hard times come again no more. It kind of has that secular hymn feel to it. And so I would love to write some music around what it means to like come into your body and understand your story in that kind of way.
Yeah,
so that really, so that's kind of, that's my next project, I think.
Awesome. That's cool. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I love the music, and I'm sure that it's touching people. And so I'm appreciate you taking the time to share your story about that with us, and certainly wish you well with it moving forward. And I love the idea of your new project, and I hope that takes off.
Thank you so much, Greg. I really appreciate being here. It's just nice to have conversations with people like you and have the opportunity to communicate, you know, and talk about music. So I really appreciate it.
Cool. Thanks, Laura. Appreciate it.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.